1083. Let us now sing in 297. Jehovah has said, 'tis left on record, the righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. At all times he loves them, 'twas for them he died. Yet oft times he proves them, for grace must be tried. When faint in the wine, or lifeless and cold, or sunk in dismay and none to uphold, yet firm to his promise, thy God shall abide. But grace, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. 2:9-7, commencing at the third verse.
I would direct you to Job chapter 1, reading verses 6 and 7. Job chapter 1, reading verses 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The book of Job, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. I trust that this word is the word of the Lord to us here this morning, as there is nothing else that seems to arrest me, only this portion, and so I venture with it, and I do desire that the Lord may speak through us and use me and speak into your heart and my heart, that we might hear his voice and feel the power within our hearts. Then, my dear friends, it will do us good. For the Lord knows the pathway that you and I walk in, and all his dear people. We've just sung a blessed hymn. I really feel there's everything in it. I don't really feel I can add to it, it's so complete. But how sweet it is to the child of God sometimes to have these blessed hymns left on the record for our use. When we're brought into the very experiences of them, and they echo in our very heart. And the blessed promises and encouragements there are in them. And haven't they been a help at times to you and I? The Lord often uses the line of a hymn or a verse to lift his people up, for he knows the place they come in. There are these times and seasons, my dear friends, that you and I walk in, they're all known to the Lord. And so it was with dear Job. His times were in the Lord's hands. Well, my dear friends, we read now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. In the old days when this took place, they didn't gather Sunday by Sunday as you and I do. Often there was these meetings, and they were perhaps only once a year. They were special occasions. But now in this gospel day, you and I are able to gather Sunday by Sunday in his courts to hear his voice. And the dear Lord is pleased to use the means in his house from time to time to feed his people, to encourage them, to help them on their way, to cut them down, to prick their hearts. Yes, the Lord works both ways in the hearts of his people. They have to know both sides. They have to be brought down to know anything savingly of a precious Christ. Because if they were not brought down, they'd have no need of a precious Christ. So it is the work of the Holy Spirit to cut down and to reveal a precious Christ. But my dear friends, as we gather in his cause today, and as it was in this day when they gathered for this occasion, Satan was present also. And my dear friends, it is solemn. But Satan, without a doubt, is here as well in this place, even this morning. The Lord can shut him out, we know. But he comes, and don't you prove oftentimes that he is in the place? Don't you often find your heart is roaming away into various things of the earth, planning and scheming perhaps what it's going to do or hopes to do? Perhaps it's things are all looming up before you of the past week. Satan isn't particular what he uses, my dear friend. If he can draw you and I away from the Lord, away from seeking after him, if he can take our hearts and our desires and so distract us, my dear friend, that's what he seeks to do. And we have to prove that it does take place in our hearts. But blessed be God when he speaks with his almighty power, my friends, then Satan has to retreat. He has to retreat because the power of the Lord is almighty, and he has overcome Satan, and he'll overcome your heart and mine if we belong to him. He'll save us from all our sins. He'll save us from a tempting devil. But my dear friends, as we sung, we shall still come into these trials, these periods, up and down, blessings and fears, judgments. The Lord's people are not exempt. And this is often a stumbling block to little ones. And especially the world, they look round and they say, well, if they was the Lord's people, would he permit these judgments, these sorrows to come upon them? They take it as an evidence against them that there's no life within, and Satan uses it. You say, you can't be one of the Lord's. You'd never be in that path where you are now. It may be you're brought into providential straits and troubles. It may be in your spirit secretly. It may be both. But my dear friends, Look at Job. He had to come into these paths. The Lord tried him. He permitted Satan, in this case, to be used at great length. Yes, Satan desired to have Job. He presented himself amongst them when they assembled for worship. And it's very striking, the Lord spoke to Satan. And he said, "Whence comest thou?" The Lord said, "What are you doing here, Satan? What are you doing in my house?" Satan doesn't come in the Lord's house to worship God. No, he hates God. He comes to distract, to lead astray, to deceive. And if it were possible, he would deceive the Lord's own dear people. But it's not possible, my friends. Not at last. They may be brought into those seasons when they are deceived for a time. But the Lord will come and enlighten and deliver his own dear people from Satan's power. But my dear friends, this dear man Job, look at the pathway he came in. There was a man upright. He hated evil. He served the Lord. He walked in the Lord's ways. He was blessed much in providence. The Lord blessed him in every way. And now he has to come into this solemn pathway where Satan is permitted to touch everything bar his life. Everything. What a solemn pathway to have to come into. And yet, my dear friends, there was great teaching in it. When the Lord's comes and visits his people and permits Satan to be used or any other means to lay the afflicting hand upon them, that either humbles or it hardens. And if grace is in exercise, it humbles. And it humbled Job. He fell before the Lord. He said, "Blessed be God. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away." He saw the hand of his God in it. He acknowledged it. And my dear friends, when you and I are brought there, humbled before him, that will lighten our cross. That'll lighten the burden that you carry. If you're unable to fall before him and submit. Ah, my dear friends, if the Blessed Spirit shows a little of what's in your and my heart, we shall know that we fully deserve all that comes upon us and more beside. But the dear Lord doesn't afflict, he doesn't reward according to our sins. Else we'd be consumed. Do you ever feel that in your heart? That if the Lord dealt with you according to your sins, you would be consumed. Such is the greatness and the holiness of God. Such is the depravity of your and my heart and the sins that we have committed. My dear friends, look into your heart and me, that what goes on there secretly. Why, we're often ashamed. We couldn't tell anybody of the multitude of evils that go on within, the thoughts, the desires of our hearts, the cravings, the deceitfulness, the hypocrisies. You say, but surely these things don't exist in your heart. They do, my friends. They're in my heart. And I believe they're in every child of God's heart. And here and there it's revealed to them. They see the truth of what they really are, in measure. Only in measure, my dear friends. We couldn't see the whole picture. I don't believe that we could stand it. But my dear friends, these things are brought to our notice again and again, to humble us, to break us down, to bring us in guilty before Him. It's the Blessed Spirit's work. He prepares the hearts of His people that they might be brought to that place where they need a Redeemer, where they need one to stand in their place before a great and holy God. So, my dear friend, don't be surprised if you come into these solemn pathways. Don't be surprised if you come into these pathways that Job came into, where the Lord brought him very low, where His judgments were brought upon him in his goods, and on his body, and his heart was afflicted. You say, how was his heart afflicted? Why? Because the Lord hid his face. And that is the sorest point with his dear people, when they are brought into these solemn pathways and feel his afflicting hand and feel the judgments, and they cry unto the Lord, and they feel that he hides his face. They feel he doesn't take any notice, and Satan roars, there you are, you see, there's the evidence, you're not one of the Lord's. He doesn't hear you. He doesn't answer your prayer. He doesn't speak a word of comfort and help. But the Lord knows. He knows just where they are. My dear friends, the Lord's people have to prove that the way to heaven is through much tribulation. And it will be a reality to them. We read so many things in the Word of God and the experiences of His people and the pathways that they come into, and we're thankful for them. For they're such a help sometimes to us. But my dear friends, you and I, if we're taught of God, will have to walk in these paths experimentally for ourselves. And we shall be brought like the sparrow alone on the housetop. Alone. Job was brought here like the sparrow alone on the housetop, alone. His wife said, curse God and die. You may depend Satan was using her because she was the closest to him in the flesh. He uses anything and anybody. His dear three friends came, but they saw the grief he was in. They couldn't comfort him. They couldn't speak to him. The dear man was alone. He was burdened beyond measure, full of griefs and sorrows. But he still looked to the Lord. He still had his eye upon the Lord. He acknowledged the Lord's hand in it all. And isn't this where you and I often come so short? In the pathway that we're led into? I mean now the rough pathways, not the smooth ones. The smooth pathways are a delight to us when the Lord's in them. They are blessed paths, they're no troubles, they're not a trial to us. But when we come in these rough and rugged pathways, when things are not with us as we would have them, whether they're outwardly, inwardly, or both, then, my dear friends, then is the trial. Where do you and I look in them? Do we look unto him? Are we humbled before him like Job and acknowledge his hand in them? Or are we hard and rebellious? It will be one way or the other, my friend. I do believe this, it's one way or the other. And I know this, that the more when we are hardened in it and rebellious, the heavier it gets. And the harder it gets. And it will do. All the time, my dear friend, we're left to our own spirit, it'll get greater and greater. Our hearts, my dear friends, we go round and round and round these things that we have to walk in. We look at them from all sorts of angles, and we come at them from all sorts of angles and wonder if we can put our hand to them and put them right. And all the time, my friends, we are getting in a whirl inside our hearts. We can't feel the Lord's presence in it. And I don't believe we ever shall, because it's our old spirit at work. We are not submissive to his will. You say, well, how can I be submissive to such a pathway? How could Job be submissive to such a pathway when the Lord came and he touched all his goods, all his wealth, his sons and his daughters. How could Job be submissive to that? Well, he was. He was. Why, it was by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Faith, he had faith. I believe that dear man had strong faith. And he looked above all those things that was happening down here. And he saw God's hand in it. And he fell before his Lord. He couldn't do nothing. Neither will you and I. We shall fall before him at times when we come into these places, and we shall have to admit our sins before him. And my dear friend, I know this too, that it will squeeze prayer out of your heart and mine. And that's a wonderful mercy, if it has that effect. Because don't you and I prove oftentimes the burden of prayer, the lack of felt nearness in prayer? Don't we often feel they're absolutely vain repetitions, and you fear to this appointed time, perhaps in family worship, when at the end of the day you gather for reading and prayer? Ah, but my dear friend, there are those times when the Lord works, and he so brings you and I into those pathways. He stirs up our nest, and all our hearts then cry out to him. They come afresh. They do. And they pour out their hearts before the Lord. My dear friends, that's sanctified trouble. That's made a blessing. That is, my dear friends, he does draw his people. He stands, he waits for them, he watches them, he listens to them. I know you perhaps say, well, he's silent. Yes, we sung of it in that hymn, that second hymn. When the Lord is silent, but he still's looking upon you. He still sees you and I. But he's testing you and I. He's watching to see whether we're going to be like those of old that we read of, that turn back and walk no more with him, because the sayings were hard, because of what was required of them was hard. They didn't want to give up anything to serve Christ. My dear friends, this is where the warfare comes within the heart. If you're called to serve the Lord, you'll have to give up much. You will, and it won't be easy. It'll be things you love. And that's not easy. It may be the Lord whispers this into your heart. Lovest thou me more than these? Ah, the Lord searches the heart. The Lord will have all the heart. He won't leave you and I to serve Him only partly, and partly the world. This is the trouble. This is why we suffer so much, because we're always striving to do this. We want as much as we can get of the world, if we're honest, as much as we can get of our own spirit, of our own covetousness, our own desires. We want as much of them as we can get, and we want the Lord as well. But you can't mix these things. And the Lord will show you and I that there has got to be a separation. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, the Lord says. And don't you, haven't you been brought to that place here and there where you've had to prove that your best times have been the times when you've been unable to cast them all away, when they've been made absolutely as nothing to you, and He has been the altogether lovely? These are sacred seasons in the hearts of His people. There are seasons that they long for, and the more they have, the more they want. The trials are the in-betweens, and this is just where Job was. He was in between the blessed visits of the Lord. The Lord had blessed him, and He was still going to bless him, but of course Job could only, as enabled, look by faith and feel that it would be well at the end, but he didn't know how it would be, and neither do you and I. We don't know what we shall come in tomorrow. The Lord may bless you in your soul today, but He may be hidden from you tomorrow. You may be brought into a trial, an exercise, a judgment. And then what? Well, it will be one of two things. Either your heart will be hardened and rebellious. You say, what, after the Lord's blessed me even in His house today? Yes, my friends, we change. What do we sing sometimes, I believe it is, in a hymn, hot and cold in half an hour? This is so. Have you not experienced it? I have. Solemnly so. I know this, that the Lord can bless. And within half an hour you can be cold, you can be drawn away. Such, my dear friends, are the temptations of Satan. Such is our own wicked heart. But our mercy is this, that the Lord loves His own, and He loves them unto the end. He doesn't reward according to our sins. He doesn't cast us off. He hides His face. He hid it from dear Job, but He loved Job. Look how He spoke to Satan of dear Job. How He said, what an upright man, a perfect and upright man he was, one that feared God and eschewed evil. This is what the Lord said to Satan. And it didn't make any difference, my dear friend. Job had to walk in this solemn pathway. He had to feel the afflicting hand of the devil. He had to know the trials of his flesh. He had to know the fears of his heart. He had to walk deeply in them. And the Lord hide in his face. No exemption, you see, my dear friends. No exemption for his dear people. Though he has a love toward them, though they follow him and serve him, they're not exempt from these solemn pathways. And this is where the worldling falls very short, that knows not him. They see the judgments in the earth. They see these things come upon the Lord's people, and they straightway say that it cannot be. They say God is love. My dear friends, he is love. And it is in love that he permits these things to come upon his dear people. What for? To stir them up. To bring them into life. To quicken them again. They come into such dead pathways. They come into those pathways where they're just mechanically, as it were, going along day by day. No life, no desires, no exercise. They come there many times, these people do. Don't you know it? You say, yes, I do. And what's come and stirred you up? What's drawn you to the throne of grace? What's made you go and cry unto him when he brought you into those pathways that were a trouble to you? We read in the, I think it's the 107th Psalm, when he brought them into various troubles and afflictions, then they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them. So, my dear friends, when the Lord brings his dear people into these paths, it's in love and mercy that they might call upon him, that they might lean upon him and seek his help when they feel the burden is too heavy for them, when they feel they've got no wisdom to walk in the pathway here below, they don't know what to do for the best, where to go. Then they cried unto the Lord and he delivered them. He showed them the way. The Israelites of old were brought to the Red Sea, no way of escape. He led them there, that was the way. He directed them to that sea, not to bring them to their death, not to put them to confusion. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They had to stand still. They had to wait that appointed time when he bid them go through the water. And he went through with them. And he delivered them from all their enemies. May the Lord bless a few things for his name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 348.
people, precious Lamb, thou never canst forget. The piercing nails have wrote their name upon thy hands and feet. Satan in vain with rage assailed thy dear peculiar ones. For then thy righteousness avails, for then thy blood atones. 3:4:8.
forgive what thou hast seen amiss in our worship, but O, do bless that which has been of thee. Prepare us, Lord, for the afternoon. Come with us and gather us together in thy name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and evermore. Amen.